Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening Commodity Market Report. Let's look at the composite numbers in Kansas City. March wheat, 781.5, up 6.5. March wheat in Chicago, 741.5, up 9.5. March corn, 698.5, now a quarter, up 3.25, not 98, even 3.25. July, 685.5, up 3.25. Go out to December at 563.75, unchanged. March beans, 1419.5, up 1.5. July, $14.25, up 1. November, 1259.5, down 5.25. March soybean meal, 407.50, up 30. March soybean oil, 51.65, down a nickel. February live cattle, 125.95, up 5 cents. March feeders, 142.92, now 90 even, up 22.5. And April lean hogs, 84.22.5, down 10. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zizzolo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, the G20 is meeting this week, and of course that means you've got to have finger-pointing. The latest round regards claims that some countries are trying to deliberately weaken their currencies to gain an advantage by boosting exports at the expense from other countries. The G7 that's the developed countries, including the U.S., tried to deal with it earlier this week, but they didn't do a very good job of it. Do you think we do a better job on the weekend?
I doubt it. And, you know, I would have thought that maybe these guys would have taken a step back and said that a meteorite almost hit us and took us all out. Let's work together for a change, but maybe that's not going to happen. I think probably what the biggest issue with the currency war that you're talking about coming more from the background to the forefront, Dave, is between China and Japan. I think what Japan has come to the realization with their new political and central bank leaders that is essentially the last 15 years as China has kept their currency artificially too cheap to push out exports, it's essentially come from at the expense of Japan. And that's kept Japan in a deflationary mode. So Japan's willing to risk inflation, push their currency lower, and I think essentially play the same game China's playing, saying there's only a certain amount of export volume that's going to come from Europe and the United States, because Europe's GDP numbers that came out yesterday for the Eurozone in the fourth quarter, they shrank at the fastest rate since the collapse of Lehman Brothers. So we're talking about historically very fragile U.S. and European import demand. And I think Japan's lining itself up now with the idea we're going to be like China, we're going to compete with China in the same level of currency, and therefore try and take away the same volume of exports, because this economy globally is not growing fast enough. So some people don't think currency wars are real. I personally do think they are, especially after big recessions. You tend to get more protectionist as governments. You tend to want to pump up your exports, even at the expense of inflating your domestic prices.
So let's take that back then to the dollar index, all that you just said, where we have been trading in a sideways channel essentially since September of last year, with the lows around 78.93 and the upper end around 81.24, give or take. But in that channel, we've been making lower highs every time we go up.
Yes, I think this is an extremely important time period. I think it's a lot like 1989. With President Bush 41, he had a situation coming out of a recession. Remember the 88 drought. 89 came around. We had a recession again, and the bond market did not like it. They were worried about the Bush administration inflating themselves out of the debt. Bond yields went higher. The dollar was there, but it didn't do a lot. So I think it may be wise in the next 6 months to take our eyes a little bit off the dollar and put them more on the focus of the bond market, because as the old saying goes, bonds know best. And so if you ask the question, how can interest rates go up during a recession, there are really good experiences we've had not so long ago where that exactly can happen, because the fear and the psychology in the bond market essentially makes it so. And I think this is extremely important given that Bernanke's 10 years coming up, and whether he comes back on board as the Fed chairman. There's a lot of working parts right now in the bond market and the interest rate markets, and so this is where I think coming back to commodities, the higher those interest rates go, the lower the investment demand is going to be in commodities. And quite frankly, I think we've already seen, and the agricultural prices are telegraphing some of this early to the rest of the macro economy and to the bond market in general.
So let's turn it back to the commodities and look at beans and corn. And as we do that, we're seeing, from a technical standpoint, both of these commodities trying to make a stand at low ends.
Yeah, I think this is the end-of-the-week relief rally that we've been talking about since the beginning of the week and the end of last week. Does it become a 3 to 4 week price low? I think it is, and I think it can be if the beans can hold together, especially led by the meal. I think the meal holds the key to the beans, and the beans therefore hold the key to the upside potential and duration of the corn and the wheat, because fundamentally, not investment demand like we've been talking about, but fundamental supply demand has been improving rather dramatically. We've got the ethanol discount to RBOB down around 80 cents now in lead month futures day. That's the lowest since April 2010. That corresponds with Valero bringing and turning the lights back on in Albion, Nebraska. We've also got the corn basis starting to perk up very nicely. More talk of tight corn supplies around the Corn Belt. Around the Gulf, we're talking more about the corn demand. Exports for wheat, best in 7 months, and a 54% number over the four-week average. We're also probably underneath India's wheat price right now, and we see the Paris wheat market actually leading the rally with almost 1.5% gains today. So I think wheat and corn are there. We have seen improving fundamental supply demand on declining prices. Do the beans allow the wheat and the corn to move higher because we've lost some demand and we're getting closer to bigger production out of South America?
So if bean meal is the key to the hinge to all of what you said, what do you need to see?
Well, you need to keep July meal above $400 a ton. I think that's first and foremost. When you go back to lead month meal, it would really be helpful to get back up above a 50% retracement on the weekly meal chart that comes around 14-15 area. That would be very, very, I think, technically supportive. And then I think the last thing you would want is if we could get back up above the June 2009 highs of around 433.40 in lead month meal. I think that would be extremely helpful as well. The weekly charts, the daily charts, all saying oversold in the meal market, but we know in the fundamentals that we deal with that sometimes those stochastics don't really help a lot.
What are we making about the exports being turned back in by unknown? I think it probably expresses the decline we saw this week. Was it an attempt to push down below these levels?
No, I don't think so. I think meaning the unknown people that canceled,
right?
The
because
price, I don't think at this point that's the case. I think we're seeing enough beans leaving the ports in Brazil that they probably are shifting origin at this point and shifting their demand over to South America. This is where it comes back to the meal. You heard at the first of the week that we may be importing meal into this country.
Yes.
If the price of meal gets high enough here in the United States, I think that's really possible because of how tight we are in the physical supplies. But if meal languishes right here at this price level, that seems less and less likely. But if I'm wrong and we stay at these price levels or a little bit lower and all of a sudden meal imports come in, then we've been undercut, and that's a negative fundamental. It says our price is still too high. That pushes the July beans. And keep in mind, we've got July beans at $14, November at $12.60, a huge inversion. The July-Nov bean spread right now is going back towards its August highs. If it gets up another 10, 15 cents higher, you're talking about being at levels not seen for one and a half years. It would strike me that as bigger supplies come on the global market, July would lose to November. So here again, the meal, the spreads, the cash, the imports, that's what probably is going to be the domino effect as far as the trend and allowing the wheat to come around and allowing the corn to follow.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. March corn, 697 and 3/4, up 3. July, 685 and 3/4, up 3.5. December, 563 and 3/4, unchanged. March beans, 1419 and 3/4, now a half. 14.20.5, up 2.5 Nobs, 12.61.5, down 3.25. You're listening to the Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.